is Jared the GM live at Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Kings tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's a nationally televised game, which means if you want to hear your guys, you got to tap that app. Listen to Pete and Hal tonight right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Of course, streaming on that great Game Nashville app. The trade deadline is coming, and Floyd cannot wait for Monday at 2 o'clock.
God.
Two more shows.
Can't
Two
wait.
More shows you've got to do in which the trade deadline is a thing. And apparently our NHL insider Ian Safar has an update on the trade deadline news. Ian, without further ado, I'll let you take it away. What's the latest on the trade deadline news?
Sounds like Mark Stone with Ottawa could be joining Matt Duchene as one of the healthy scratches if he does not have a new contract with Ottawa by tonight's game.
What do we think about that, Floyd?
I don't know. What does that mean?
It means he's not going to play.
Right.
So they don't want him to get hurt because they want to trade him. So that means a trade could be in the works. And everybody seems to think. Now, I do not. Let me go on record. I've already guaranteed the Predators are going to win tonight. Ian, let me double down.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say they're not going to land one of the three big fish on the market. I don't have any sourcing. I don't have any. I have not talked to David Poile about this. I have not talked to the coach. I have not talked to anybody within the organization around any of this. I do not believe they will land one of the three big guys on the market, Panarin, Stone, Duchene. They might make a trade for another Ryan Hartman, which is fine, whatever. But they're not going to, just me, get one of those big fish. I just don't think they have the resources to do it. Well, I don't. I mean, I guess they would have the resources to do that, but then they would have the resources to do nothing else. And so I just don't see them putting all the chips in the middle. Because it's almost like if you do that and you get one of those guys and you don't win the cup, then you failed this year. And I just don't see them putting themselves in that position. So I believe they're not going to do that. But the insiders are pushing kind of their different things they're hearing and so on and so forth. And Elliot Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada, who's their lead insider, so think of one of the Schefters of the NHL, he is just dead set that the Predators are in on Matt Duchene and will pump it for anybody who hears it.
So I think that the Matt Duchene stuff centers around Nashville. I think there's some other teams there. I think Columbus has looked at them. I think Calgary's looked at them. We always joke we have no idea what the Islanders are up to, but I think they've looked at them. And one of the things I've been told is that if Montreal thought they could extend them, they would have been in on it too. But I do think this is all about Nashville. The Predators have lusted after Duchene for some time. You know, somebody tweeted at me, oh, just because the guy knows how to play guitar, you assume he wants to play in Nashville.
That's snappy.
You know what? It's probably to some degree true. But I do think that Nashville interests him a great deal. I think the Predators are working to see if they can make this a sign and trade, have an extension as be part of it.
So he's pumping it. And he pumped it on NHL Network earlier in the week. And now he's pumping Duchene in a sign and trade. And I want to know why he's pumping it so much. Why is he pumped? Why? Somebody is telling Elliot Friedman, hey, man, Nashville's hard and Nashville wants it and Nashville. And the one person I'm going to assume is not the person giving him the information about Nashville wanting Matt Duchene. I think we can both agree. We can rule out David Poile from being the person who's talking to Elliot Friedman about the Preds wanting Duchene. Fair?
I would think it's fair, yeah.
Okay, so we know it's not Poile. So who is talking to Friedman and is telling Friedman, hey, Nashville wants Duchene. They're all in on Duchene. That's what they want to be. They want to go get Duchene, and they want to sign him to an extension, and Duchene would be open to it.
Oh, I think he said it in the very first sentence. He said Nashville's been after Duchene for a while now. I mean, they were after him last year or last offseason or last regular season, whenever it was. They've been after
him. Well, they wanted him for 2 years leading up to the tourist trade, which is where they didn't get him.
There you go. So, I mean, I think that's just a continuation of what's been in the past. And they're just saying, hey, they've always liked him, so I'm sure they're in on it. And very well could be right.
So you think he's just taking a dart and just throwing it up like that, like on a dartboard?
Yep, that's what I think. How hard is it? How hard is it? If you've been after a guy for 2 years and now he's out there, how hard is it to say, you know, I bet that team that's wanted him for 2 years is still interested.
But they got Kyle Turris, which was kind of like their mea culpa of, well, we're not going to get Duchesne, so we're going to get Turris instead. You know, that was kind of like the consolation prize, was that you got this $6 million a year guy who doesn't really do a whole lot. You got this because you couldn't get the guy you really wanted. It's kind of like a prom date. You know, the hottest girl had been asked, so you asked a not-so-hot girl that has a nice personality. And that's what had happened. I think it's the agent. I think it's the agent that is going to Friedman and saying, oh, yeah, Nashville's pushing hard. But, hey, you know Poile. He wants an extension in order to do a deal like this, and we'd be open to it. And then Friedman's out there saying, well, you know, Nashville has wanted him, and they'd be willing to the Duchesne camp says they'd be willing to do an extension, so then Friedman runs with it, so that that's the signal from Duchesne's agent, who probably can't even talk to the Predators right now about Duchesne because Duchesne's property of Ottawa, to say that, hey, Matt wants to come, and he'd be willing to sign an extension, David. So if you want to do it, he's willing to sign the extension, David. Go ahead, give him a call. He'd do that.
Well, and, I mean, a sign and trade would certainly be a lot more appealing than a rental.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think the Preds are going to.
I mean, I think and, that would.
And I heard somebody say yesterday that the Senators don't want to deal with the sign. They just want to trade Duchesne. You want to sign him? Fine. But I don't want to deal with the agent. I don't want to deal with the sign and trade. I don't want to do that. You just do it. And I think that that plays a role into this. I think that plays a role where the agent is going to Friedman, because maybe Duchesne's told the agent, I want to go to Nashville. And so now, how do you get this out there? Well, you have Friedman putting out, who's one of the top hockey insiders, you know, there's some talks, Nashville really wants him. And he'd be willing to sign the extension, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Nashville. So could it be that? Could it be the agent trying to tell David Poile without telling David Poile, because David Poile can't talk to the agent about Duchesne until Ottawa trades him? Do you think that maybe the agent's trying to put it out there so that Poile can feel comfortable in trading for Duchesne, knowing that Duchesne would want to sign an extension here?
Well, yeah, I guess that could happen. But, I mean, you give up every bit of your leverage as a negotiator. You just traded for this guy, and you know he's coming here. All of a sudden, if he wanted $8 million a year, just
he
got to
10.
So, I mean, yeah, that could happen. I wouldn't think it'd be good business, but good.
Okay, now here's my other theory. What if this is Ottawa who's trying to drive the price up on Winnipeg for Mark Stone? We hear that Winnipeg wants Mark Stone. So the way they tell it is Nashville wants Duchesne and Winnipeg wants Stone. Even though, honestly, deep down inside, I feel like Winnipeg needs Duchesne more and Nashville needs Stone more. But that's just what they're telling us. So what if Winnipeg's trying to get Stone, but their offer is not that good yet, or it's, you know, needs a little sweetening? Well, wouldn't it be smart for Ottawa to put out, hey, Nashville's about to get Duchesne. So if you want Stone, you better pony up, because Nashville, your top competitor, is going to get Matt Duchesne. And would it not behoove the team to put that out?
Well, yeah, again, I mean, I think you could put that out there, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, if you relied on that, you'd be an idiot. But it could be out there.
I mean, I can't. These guys don't make this stuff up. That I'm convinced of. But it is who's talking
how many,
to
how many? Who was it last? For the last 2 years, we've been through this. We have yet to get the guy we've talked about for 3 weeks. Last year we didn't talk about tourists for 3 weeks.
No. I don't even remember who we talked about before the deadline. But I
that
know
was probably
it wasn't Ryan
Duchesne
Hartman
again.
I know. Well, he'd I mean, but I know I it mean, wasn't Ryan Hartman last year. We talked about all kinds of guys.
We talked
and it
about
wasn't Ryan Hartman.
All of these guys, and here comes the deadline, and they've got this guy pinned down. And here's Hartman. that's not who we were talking about.
And honestly, the fans here were like, who the hell is that?
So I don't know. It'd be interesting.
So you just don't believe any of it?
I don't believe any of it. But
you don't think that the – you just think that Friedman wakes up in the morning and says, I just go on TV and say this.
Nothing to me. It's just like you and your tweets. I mean, anybody –
why would I do?
Anybody that believes any of the stuff that goes on the tweets has got to be an idiot.
The tweets from me?
Anybody.
Well, like the inside
anybody,
sourcing
anywhere.
Stuff?
I mean, I have yet to see a tweet, and I don't tweet myself, but I have yet to see one that makes any sense or has any brains
to
it.
You got to treat Twitter like it's a real thing. Tennessee lost a football coach over Twitter.
Yes, he did. And there's a great example, which is what I'm talking about.
You got to treat it like it's a real thing, Papa. I know you don't want to, but you have to because that's the reality. I remember the day that Shiano got unhired, and I remember saying, I wonder if Floyd's going to believe that Twitter's real now, and Ian was like, yeah, I'm not sure Floyd is going to do that.
No. This is what kids me about tweets is everybody that lives with it, like you do, all you do when you put the phone down is talk about how stupid they are and how they hate me and how these guys are dummies and now can you believe he said that? And then every opportunity, just like you just did, you pick it right up and go to the tweets.
No. I'm on Instagram.
Check out the stuff.
Instagram right now. Instagram and Twitter are totally different, but that's a different show. There are shows that love to talk about Twitter, and this show does not. We love to talk about sports.
Yes.
We might be the only sports show in America that still talks about sports and not Twitter, but we will continue to talk about sports. So I don't want to get too into talking about Twitter because it won't be like, you know, the sports shows that just talk about what happened on Twitter.
Yes.
Don't want that to be us. Ian, why do you think Elliot Friedman is pumping Duchesne to the Predators so hard?
I think part of it is just Poile's reputation as a wheeler and dealer. You know, they just made some moves that have kind of come out of nowhere here and there. So I think his reputation is he's not afraid to make the big trade. And who knows, maybe there is some chatter about past stuff. I don't know.
So I'm trying to figure this out. Why are they pumping it? 615-737-1025. And the other thing that the Canadian media is starting to pump about the Predators, and I don't know if it's true, I don't know if it's possible, I don't know if it's feasible, but what if, you know, what if? It gets me excited. I'll just say that. We'll get to that coming up next. We'll take your calls on the Duchesne rumors. Why? Why is everybody pumping Duchesne to the Preds so much? 615-737-1025. And would you be okay with that or not okay with that? That's another question in and of itself. You know what's not another question? Who you need to call if you've got an issue with your plumbing, heating, cooling, or your electric, and that is Hiller. And that's who the Predators call. They got him right there on the ice. Why? Because Hiller is a big partner and a proud partner of the Nashville Predators. I use Hiller on my home. They come to my house and they take great care of me, and they will take great care of you thanks to True Transparency Pricing. That's right. True Transparency Pricing is when there's an issue, Hiller comes out. Hiller's trained technicians will give you a quote. They will explain it to you, and then you will decide whether or not you want to purchase whatever it is they need done. And it's True Transparency where it explains everything to you. And the other guys don't have that. And that's why, again, I'm so glad that I use Hiller on my new home, and you should too. Also, if you use the other guys, have them come on out, and they give you a quote. Call Hiller. They'll come out and give you a second opinion for free. That's right, a second opinion for free. Major HVAC work, plumbing work, whatever, Hiller will be there and they will take great care of you. That's the Happy Face Truck. Hiller, proud partners of the Nashville Predators. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
2 weeks ago on headlines on Hockey Night in Canada, you threw out Tolvanen as a guy.
Yeah.
He's one of their top prospects in Nashville. You imagine the haul for Duchesne is a high pick, a possible NHL player, and a prospect like a Tolvanen.
The prospect is Tolvanen.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy that's names out there, Nick mentioned earlier, is Fiala.
Kevin Fiala.
That is another guy.
He's looking for a new deal.
Yeah.
And
right. Talented guy.
You got to move. You got to move.
First round pick. He's a perfect type of guy
yes.
for the Sens.
Yes. Agreed.
You know,
so
that could be a perfect fit.
You got Turris, who is never, you know, let's not forget Turris is there, and he makes a ton of money.
Yep.
And he, much like, you know, Kadri playing third line center with some big salaries up front, if they do have, you know, Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, there's not going to be room for Turris long term.
So that was Sportsnet in Canada. So they say, hey, Fiala is a perfect player for the Senators. And I bet you there's a lot of Preds fans out there who agree that Fiala is a perfect player for the Senators. At least the ones that call our show probably think that he's a perfect player for anybody who's not the Predators. But then you hear, okay, Tolvanen for sure. So basically the way that all these insiders are making it out to be is that they're basically telling you Tolvanen for sure and the first round pick for sure. And then the question is, what's the other thing that has to go if you have to get rid of it in order to get one of these big time guys? And
that's a veteran player?
Well, it's not a veteran player, but it's not a, you know, it's a young player who's, it's a Sissons, it's a Yarncroak. It's kind of one of the kind of guys you don't want to have to trade. You know, it's not going to be Hartman. You can't just package Hartman in there and all of a sudden, although if you gave up 2 ones, you probably could. And since Hartman was traded for a one, just burns my craw every time I think about it. But again, that's another thing that I wonder, you know, you heard at the end. What about Kyle Turris? Well, hey, if they get Duchene, there's no need for Turris there. What about that? Because this is the one way. To me, it's going to be tough to do with Craig Smith hitting the IR. But if you get Duchene and then can flip off Turris and Smith and they're combined $10.25 million a year, now all of a sudden you have all kinds of room to sign Duchene to a long-term extension. And Elliot Friedman also said, hey, what if Nashville gets Duchene? What's that mean for Turris?
They're in on Duchene. I think they're in on Kevin Hayes. You know, if Nashville, for argument's sake, and I'm not saying this is happening, but if Nashville had to move out Kyle Turris to get Duchene, I wonder if Columbus would do that. Would they be in on that? That's just me throwing that out there.
So now they're starting to talk about Kyle Turris as maybe being the odd man out if the Predators were to get a Duchene. And that makes me wonder, does David do the deal for Duchene and then flip Turris to somebody else afterwards to essentially clear that spot and cap space and maybe get a young player or a pick back in return for Turris to then make up for a young player or pick that you lose in the trade for Duchene?
I have no clue. I don't know what you just said. I got no idea.
Okay, so think about it like two separate.
I'm not smart enough to do
that. Yes, you are. Think about this like two separate trades. Think about this like a trade where you trade for Duchene, right? You trade your first-round pick. You trade Tolvanen. Let's just say Tolvanen, your first-round pick, and then some other, you know, whatever. So you trade three assets to get Duchene. Now Duchene comes, but you have to give him $8 million a year. Well, you know you're going to have to redo Josi in the offseason, so you're just not going to have the cap space to give away another huge long-term extension to a forward. But if you get rid of Turris's long-term extension by trading Turris in a separate deal, then that opens the spot for Duchene and the spot for Duchene's long-term contract. And since you wanted Duchene from the jump when you traded for Turris anyways, is that not at least an idea that could be on the table?
I'm sure it could. You know, I mean, I have no idea how it matches up. I mean, if you're trading a first and a veteran and a young prospect, and then you're turning around and trading a second line center and getting a second or a third. I mean, I don't.
Well, I'm going to guess your second line center with the deal he has, and that's the question is, you know, if Turris last year was worth two prospects in a second without the extension. Well, I guess it did count because they did sign him to the extension before they made the trade. So with the extension, Turris was two prospects in a second. What's Turris worth this year? Because I talked to somebody today who said, yeah, I don't know if they'd be able to unload that contract. I'm like, what? That move was hailed around the league. The only person who raised their hand and was like, whoa, 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 was me. Everybody around the country, everybody in Canada, the perfect fit for the Predators. This is, and now you're 1 year into the deal, and we're talking about, yeah, I don't know if they can get rid of that contract. What?
Well, you're talking about, what's he got, $36 million left on it?
Well, no, he's got 30? 31, yeah, after this year.
Okay. I mean, you know, you're talking about a $30 million contract.
But that was a contract that when they traded for it, everyone said, great. When they traded, when they made the trade, the two prospects, including Sam Girard, who would be a perfect fit right now as the fourth or fifth defenseman for the Predators, when they made that trade last year, everybody hailed it as a great trade. So here we are 1 year later, and now everybody's ready to bail on it? Well, to the point that you can't even get from out from under one year in?
Yeah, you're talking about trading them, so I guess you would consider that bailing. I mean, I don't know that, you know, how many times do you trade? What'd you say,
three assets.
Three assets. And a year later, we're ready to bail on him.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, it's just the guys, the talking heads in Canada saying, what if they got rid of Turris kind of thing. But it's not so much that. It's that nobody else in the league, in a league in which Ryan Hartman last year went for a first-round pick at the deadline, nobody would value a guy who is infinitely better and more valuable and signed long-term at a controlled cost more than Ryan Hartman.
There are going to be people that are going to look at that $30 million and say, I don't want any part of that.
But last year when they signed him for the 36, after last year, they said, that was great. How can he have sucked so bad that he's sullied that entire deal to where you can't even move out from under him?
Well, I don't know. How can he suck so bad you want to get rid of him after half a year? I mean, that's the same reason.
I mean, I'm not in favor of dumping Turris. I do. I've always been under the assumption that he'll never pay what he owes, but I don't want to dump him. I mean, what does that tell you about David Poile that he makes that trade and then a year later, if he does want to trade him, does trade him? What does that tell us? Then I would have to ask the question. Like, let's just say in fantasy world, they make this trade, or the trade I'm talking about, where they trade for Duchesne two assets or three assets and then flip Turris and get like one pick back in exchange, like a first or a second or something like that. Then you will have traded five assets for Matt Duchesne. Is Matt Duchesne worth five assets?
According to the guys in Toronto, they are. Wherever those guys are from.
Okay,
and
what place?
Announcers.
And what place in the standings? What place in the standings is Matt Duchesne's team?
I have no clue.
Dead last. So that guy's worth five assets?
I guess.
I don't understand that line of thinking. And what I think it is I think it's all crap. And I think what's happened is these people talk about this Easter Bunny-like trade deadline for so long that they just start – They drive themselves crazy talking about it because they talk about it so much that they have to have something new to talk about when that doesn't even make sense that they would trade Turris this quickly after having just signed him to that extension.
They just make it up.
I mean, it's like they just go down the water slide. Just like, now what if the Titans were to try to get Patrick Mahomes? Now what would that take? Well, you know, it would probably take Mariota because Kansas City's got to get a quarterback there. And probably the Titans' first-round pick for sure. And maybe a second-round pick and maybe Davis. And you know what? Probably Dory Jackson. And that would probably get you Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
How about that?
Where do we sign up?
Crispy is going to join us coming up next. Terry Crisp will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the team, on the homestand, and, of course, on the trade deadline because – can never talk about the trade deadline enough, apparently. I do want to give a quick shout-out, though, Floyd. I want to give a shout-out to my friends over at Global Motorsports. You know, they're proud partners with us here on the station. I test drove a car over at Global Motorsports. Oh, my goodness. Patrick, the guy out there, the one at Bellmead, best car test driving experience I've ever had. So I just wanted to give everybody over there a big shout-out. at Global Motorsports. Patrick Murphy, the one out in Bellmead, they did a great job out there. So glad that we're partners with people that do a great job like they did. Terry Crisp is going to join us coming up next right here on Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM, we are live at Bridgestone Arena, Preds and Kings. And I got to be honest with you, I have been very disappointed that we have not had Terry Crisp in our lives since last Thursday. And I'm not just talking about us.
I miss him.
I'm talking about the fans because they play Thursday night. Crispy's on the show Thursday, everybody's favorite segment. And then all of a sudden they go on the road and they play that ugly game on Saturday. And I could just hear Crispy in my head in the living room Saturday watching the Vegas game. This is what I heard, Floyd, in my head watching the game.
This is one of those situations where I put my coaching hat on. Coaches can only take you so far. They can only teach you so much and go so much. I think this is the time you go and you walk in the dressing room and you put a great big huge mirror in each guy's stall. And you leave it right in that stall. And when a guy walks in, sits down, look, every guy look at that mirror.
And so that's what they did. They had the team meeting. They played great in Dallas. Terry Crisp joins us on the show. Crispy, we have not heard from you since then because the team has been on the road. But during the Vegas game, I heard you telling me to go put a mirror in every stall in the dressing room.
You heard more than that. You're just not saying it.
There's some truth to that.
You know you heard more than that. Believe me.
Crispy, what did you make of the road trip? Not a great effort at Vegas. Great effort.
No, Vegas was a total skunk out. I was so disappointed in our Vegas game because we'd been in there before and got hammered and knew what was coming up. We knew they were a team that had lost a bunch, and we didn't. And you know what? I was more agitated and aggravated as to how they hung Saros out to dry in that game. The little guy, it could have easily been early in that game, 6-1 or 6-0 for Vegas, if Saros wasn't making the saves. And you would have thought that the saves he was making would have given the guys some impetus, some excitement, some bounce in their game. And they had none. So when the game was all said and done, of course you're agitated. And I don't even try and whitewash those kind of games. But having said that, they came back and took two big points out of Dallas. So I'll take the points out of Dallas, but I did not like the Vegas game.
Did you think the Dallas game – I text Chris Mason maybe with 5 minutes to go in the Dallas game when it was still 3-3, and I said, even if they don't win tonight, the effort that they're playing with – they're not perfect tonight, but the effort that they were playing with I thought is the kind of effort I'm used to seeing out of the Predators. When you watch a game from this team and you see that effort, is that all you're looking for as a coach?
Yes, especially after the game before that, the Vegas game. Any kind of an effort I was looking for, and we got it. We got the effort. In fact, you know what I thought? I thought a lot of guys tried to overreach too much. A lot of guys gave that I'll do it on my own then. I'll do it. And we made some glaring errors in that game. We made some plays and passes we usually don't make. But I put that down to guys really wanting to make it happen, really wanting to be the leader out there, wanting to take the puck and go through and whatnot. And we made some errors, and Pekka covered up a few of them for us. But that's what Pekka has done throughout his career with us. But you're right. I like the effort. But I'm going to be honest with you about this. I'm still not really satisfied with our defensive game yet in the defensive zone. Because I watch other teams come in, and the game they're playing against us, in our zone, we never used to let that happen. But we got a good effort with the guys at least giving it. And they went to the body against a team that plays heavy.
Crispy, as a coach, how hard is it this time of year and for the last couple of weeks, all the discussion about trades and who we need and where he's going to play and which players are going to be traded and all of that discussion while trying to stay focused on a game every other night?
You know what? I'd be lying if I said it didn't affect you. I played enough years, 15 years pro to know that. And I was always one of those players that was always on the bubble, where you stand, where you're not, where you're going in a trade or whatever. And it's sort of disconcerting. And I can remember I got traded 1 year, 1 hour before the deadline. Wow. And I thought we'd made it. Didn't have to move my wife, didn't have to move the family. We were settled. And the phone rings an hour before the deadline was over, and I got the news. And it, you know what? It's almost a relief when that call does come, because you've been so agitated, so waiting for it, and it happens, and then, you know what, then as soon as it comes, you move on. It's okay, thanks. And you always say this one. You say it, and your wife will say it, or your best friends. Listen, obviously, you're moving on because one team didn't want you anymore, and the other team wanted you. And that's point blank what it's all about.
Yeah. How important, I mean, we're a game, I mean, a point behind Winnipeg, and a few points behind some of these teams that are behind us that are on fire. I mean, these teams are flying. How important is it for us to just stay one or two and stay ahead of all of that behind us?
You know what? It's important in so much as that how are you playing and how are you, what are you doing for to stay ahead of them? Are you playing good, solid hockey? The teams you're meeting are playing solid hockey and you're getting your points that you have to do it. So I always look at the fact that, and this should be my motto, I really don't want to look behind me in my rearview mirror because it might be gaining. And I look ahead, and you look ahead to who you're trying to reach and who you're trying to catch up to and move on up the ladder. So looking over your shoulder, you know, that means you're going to run into a lamppost sometime if you keep running, looking over your shoulder. So you got to, the thing is, you look down at your game and say, hey, we have to win these. Let's don't worry about the other teams. I always go back to that John Wooden theory, and I loved it. And I read the book, They Call Me Coach, I think it was. And John Wooden said, I don't get worried about the other team. I don't even sometimes talk about the other team. He says, I have my team ready, my system ready, my guys ready. Let the other team try and stop me. Let them be good enough to stop my guys.
Terry Crisp is with us here on the show. Preds tonight against the LA Kings. Crispy, how important are these three games? Kings, we know where they are in the standing. Colorado, we know where they are in the standings. Edmonton, we know where they are in the standings. And then St. Louis and Winnipeg behind it. And I know the coach and the players will say they're only focused on the one game. And it's important for them to be focused on the one game. But for us, how important is this three-game stretch at home against teams that are struggling in the standings?
Right now, it's imperative. I don't say if you don't win them, you're dead, beaten out of it, but you certainly don't want these points going by the boards. And these are teams that you should be beating, and we should be capable of beating where we are and how good our team is. So it's not that you say you're looking past them, using that phrase, you're taking them, because you don't take them for granted. Because when you leave that dressing room, you know exactly you're playing the Kings, who you're playing, then Colorado, et cetera. So the idea is that you want to climb as high as you can, and these are points that you should be taking. That should be ours, and especially in our building with our hometown fans and the way that we played, we should be taking these points and taking them, you know, like we need them.
Crispy, you want a little momentum going into the playoffs. When do you need to start that run? Do you need to start it now? Do you need to start it with 10 games left or five, or do you have any idea? Can you put a number on it?
You know what? When I was coaching, I sat down one time with a gentleman from a university, and we sat down for the last month of the season. And I asked him to make a timetable with me, a table of what practices we should have, how long the practices should be. And we had pink days. And we put pink days in a big block on the calendar, and those calendars you used to have. And the pink day was a total day off where nobody's allowed to come to the ring. And I don't care if you got beat 10-1 the night before. If it was a pink day, you did not come to the ring. So I always judged about 1 month left in the season. And they used to say, well, you got to rest so-and-so. And I said to this guy, should we be resting Josi, and should we be resting Peckett? Should we be resting? He always went to your top guns. He said, no. Why are you resting them in the final month of the year? He says, when you want them hitting full stride. When you come out of that gate, and he considers the last month the gate, you want your horses running full steam for the finish line. And when you hit the finish line, you're still going strong, so you're entering playoffs. So to me, it's always about just about a month before the final game, before you hit playoffs. That's the stretch you crank it up.
Terry Crisp with us here on the show. Crispy, what do you, with this team right now, What do you feel their problem on the power play is? Because everybody talks about it every day, and yet it doesn't seem like they're getting any closer to figuring it out.
Yeah. You know what? It's I don't know. Everybody has a theory. I don't know. I played, and we've got the talent there. It's the same bunch we had last year that made it all happen. And it's not just one thing. It's a combination of, and probably when you ask the players, they can't give you an answer. Everybody has a different answer for it. So to be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know what you'd, and I know the coaches have sure burnt the midnight oil trying to figure it out and what should be done about it. And I guess the biggest thing is that when you go back to the old tried and true is quit holding the puck so long. Quit trying to be fancy with it. Get into their end and crank it on net. That's why you got Boyle. And that's why you got Hartman. And that's why you got a couple other guys. Get them to the front of the net and have the guys crank it. That's when we've had our most success. And I think the best thing example you should show is the other night when Smitty comes down the wing, fires a low shot on the ice. Goaltender makes a good save. Hartman's driving to the net, hits a rebound out of midair. Hey, go to the net. Good things happen.
Terry Crisp, he is a legend. Always good to talk to you, Crispy. And the fans, I speak for them, they miss you on the broadcast since they've been on the road and now it's a nationally televised game tonight.
Hey, you know what, Jared? I appreciate that. And you know what? Now I will give you that $5 I owe you.
Thank you. Crispy, as always.
Did you get it, GM?
I got it.
Oh, hey.
Thanks, Crispy.
Hey, one last thing for you, Crispy. One last thing. Your gut, yes or no? Do the Preds make a big deal and land one of these Duchesne, Panarin, or Stones in your heart? Yes or no if you had to bet today on whether they land one of them Monday?
You know what? Yes or no is not going to do it because my only answer would be this, that I'm not really in favor of a rental player. Sorry.
Ah, I like it.
Terry Crisp.
My guy.
Crispy, we will talk to you soon.
Catch you later, guys.
Thanks, Crispy.
See you, Crispy. So Crispy is totally out on the rental player. And it's funny because Hal, when we asked him about the Duchesne stuff the other day, Hal was, you know,
yeah.
But, you know, Hal, he's not a veteran like Crispy, so he's going to be a little bit more measured in terms of that. But Hal was not totally for that idea, which I found to be a little interesting. And so what's that tell you?
That was a good conversation with Crispy.
They're always good with Crispy.
They're always good. But, I mean, during each one of these, he'll say something that kind of sticks with you. You know, it goes to the back of your mind, and then later on you pull it up. And
I know. You talk about it for 4 days after every time. Crispy said.
Yeah, that's right.
And I feel like, you know, you're the guy like in the 300 level that's like, or the 200 level or the 100 level that's like, yeah, well, I heard them say on the radio today, like I forget where I was. Somebody said something to me one time. They're like, I heard them say on the radio. So then I just thought in my head, yeah, that was me who said that. So I'm not sure how much you should take, you know, from that or whatever. Like, oh, man. Hey, Williamson County schools are closed tomorrow due to a risk of flooding. So, Floyd, the kids in the neighborhood will be there.
So if I don't show up for work tomorrow, you'll know why.
You don't count. You do not. You are not
County.
A Williamson County
They're
child.
Worried about flooding. That's me.
Hey, as somebody who lives in Davidson County, I root that we close those schools down too. Actually, whatever's safest. Jared and the GM coming up next. There's one player I don't want on the Titans, but apparently the Colts or the Texans could be interested, and I don't want him going there either. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM. We're live from Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This much we know, Le'Veon Bell will not be a Pittsburgh Steeler. GM Kevin Colbert made that official when they said they're not going to tag him at all. So the 27-year-old will be an unrestricted free agent running back on the market. Likely scenarios.
I think the New York Jets make a lot of sense for Le'Veon Bell because GM Mike Maccagnan knows he needs to upgrade this roster immediately this offseason. They've got close to $100 million in cap space. And if you want to see Sam Darnold get better without Sam Darnold doing anything, put better players around him. Le'Veon Bell will be a player that could certainly fit in that offense.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for many of the same reasons as far as what he would do for the quarterback position there. It would help Jameis Winston tremendously. It would help their play-action passing game. It would help Mike Evans. It would help all the pass catchers on this football team. And quite honestly, take some pressure off of a defense that still needs to come around. This is a disappointing football team, the Tampa Bay Bucs. They need to get it going. Bruce Arians is the new man in charge. see what happens down there.
I'd throw in two other teams. The Indianapolis Colts behind that unbelievably rebuilt offensive line. They have plenty of money. And don't discount the Houston Texans.
That was NFL Live. Field Yates says the Jets. Lewis Riddick says Tampa for Le'Veon Bell. And I'm cool with that. And then Trey said, don't forget the Colts, who have about $1 billion in cap space. And
Texans.
The Texans. Yeah. And I don't like that now. Le'Veon Bell to the Colts. I don't like that. Now, I do wonder if Le'Veon would hurt the Colts. You know, like, would he cut Reich's legs out from under him? Because he is a bad teammate. But he's not as bad as Antonio Brown. But I hear all that. I hate all that. I hate what I hear when I hear Le'Veon Bell Colts, Le'Veon Bell Texans. What do you think of Trey kind of throwing that out there at the end? And the Colts do have all the cap space in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're loaded. I don't know what the Texans have, but if he was on either one of those teams, I mean, that's certainly not going to help our cause.
I mean, that's
one
giant,
little bit.
Giant step up.
Yeah,
for
because
either of those
he teams. Is a really good running back, and above and beyond that, he is a really fine receiver. And so now you've got a dual threat running back, you know, playing you're back to Edger and James, guys like that. You don't want to have to face him, especially when, you know, the way it is now, you can't cover T.Y. Hilton or the tight end either. So be trouble. Would not be good.
How likely do you think it is that he ends up with one of those two?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, whoever's willing to spend the most money.
I mean, it's honestly like a 1-32. Like, who will pay Le'Veon Bell the most money?
Who's going to pay the
and
most
money? And
that's
where the Colts worry me is I wonder if the Colts – now, Chris Ballard has basically gone out of his way to say, I'm not going to just bring in a bunch of free agents. You know, he did that last offseason. Said, hey, I'm not just bringing in the highest paid free agents. I want to build through the draft and all of that. And I get that and I respect that. Does Chris Ballard maybe not want Le'Veon Bell with the Colts? Because whoever pays Le'Veon Bell has to understand that the effort that you get from Le'Veon Bell is not going to be the same effort, maybe in the later years of the deal, that he gave Pittsburgh, only because why would a guy hold out for guaranteed money so much so? Because he just doesn't want to have to work as hard anymore.
Well, I think it's you're looking at it through two different lenses with each of these teams. I think the Jets signed him out of desperation, and the Colts signed him out of want/need. Mm-hmm. And at a point in time, you know, if you want a guy, I want to have him. But at a point in time, you say, but not at that price. Desperation, you're probably saying, hey, we got to sign him at any price. And so, I mean, my gut would tell me that he's probably going the other way with it, and that the Jets would be somebody with all the money they have and with the desperation that they'll be under. I think they're the ones that would probably say, okay, you know, let's go ahead and do this.
What about that wild card Trey threw in there about the Texans? The only reason the Texans, I mean, I could see that being a bad thing, because now Hopkins isn't going to get the ball as much if Bell's in there, and Hopkins, you know, kind of likes being the lead dog.
Well, so the thing that it helps, of course, is it helps the quarterback.
For sure.
Get the running game going. Now all that play action pass stuff.
Well, now, I just don't want Luck with it, because Luck will use him in the passing game, and he'll be able to stop
him. I mean, it would be a nightmare for either one of those teams to get him.
So usually ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows and Nashville, is at 5 o'clock. We're going to push that back to 5:15 because Floyd is going to have his fourth film study breakdown. The Titans offensive line, the interior offensive line, has been massively criticized. Floyd broke them down. The coaches, GM's tape. What did he see? What do they need? What were the problems? Floyd breaks all of that down coming up next. Right here on Jared and the GM, live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game.